welcome to this SearchSecurity.com podcast. I'm Billy Hurley. It's great to have you with us. Today we're going to count down the top five ways to keep users safe from today's web-based threats. Joining us on the line is Lenny Zeltzer, an IT security and risk management expert. Lenny leads the New York security consulting team for IT infrastructure and hosting provider Savvis. He is also a faculty member at SANS Institute and an incident handler at the Internet Storm Center. Thanks for being here, Lenny.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Before we get started, I want to mention that this podcast is part of our Intrusion Defense School, which you can visit at any time by navigating to searchsecurity.com/intrusiondefenseschool. Lenny, let's set the stage before we begin the countdown. Web-based threats have received a lot more attention recently compared with other security issues. How much focus should security managers put toward mitigating web-based threats?
Web-based threats are really so important nowadays because as you look at the way the attackers are finding their ways onto the system, web is the predominant threat vector. The attackers found that we are getting much better about protecting our servers, and therefore a head-on attack on the servers is becoming, well, certainly not impossible, but a little bit more difficult. And as a result, the attackers are targeting end users by trying to convince them to download malicious executables or having them visit malicious websites. And that's really why talking about web-based threats is so critical, both to protecting home users as well as to protecting enterprises.
Okay, then let's start the countdown. Tip number five for keeping users safe from web-based threats: upgrade your antivirus software. And Lenny, that means more than just keeping your signatures current, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We all know that it's important to keep the antivirus signatures up to date, and therefore, signature-based antivirus defenses are only one of many techniques that modern antivirus tools use. And we continue to use the term antivirus. Of course, nowadays, this is anti-malware software that typically uses signature-based detection mechanisms, but also realizes that that's not enough to detect malicious code. So if you're still running just pure standalone antivirus software, it's a good start, it's a nice baseline. However, you really should be looking at the suites of products that antivirus vendors offer nowadays, where antivirus software that's signature-based is complemented with behavioral detection and protection. Furthermore, modern antivirus or anti-malware product suites include mechanisms for observing the user's browsing activities, detecting when the user is going to potentially malicious websites, detecting or trying to block attempts to compromise vulnerabilities in the user's web browser. Really, this is so important to have a full security suite of products. You really want to have anti-spyware, rootkit protection, personal firewall, behavioral analysis, mail scanning, HTTP traffic scanning. All this functionality is important for protecting against modern web-based threats.
Okay, item number four on our countdown of the top five ways to keep users safe from web-based threats: keeping up with workstation security patches. Lenny, patching client machines is without question the drudgery of information security tasks, but there's no question that it's as important as ever because it represents the last line of defense.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've been talking about security patches for such a long time, and there is good news there. The good news is that we're getting much better about keeping up with patches that affect Microsoft products. Microsoft has done, I think, a very good job at making it convenient for enterprises, well, I guess as convenient as it could be, to distribute patches to Microsoft products. So whenever I do security assessments, I find that organizations are now better at deploying patches to Microsoft products than they were, let's say, 2 years ago. Where I still see a lot of problems, though, is keeping up with the patches for non-Microsoft, or I guess what you would call third-party software. And specifically, I'm talking about that software which could be invoked through the web browser. I'm thinking about attack vectors that attempt to compromise the workstation security when a user visits a malicious website, or perhaps through a drive-by download where a user might be visiting a compromised website or a website that's displaying an advertisement that's being served by a malicious system, and these exploits attempt to exploit a vulnerability in the user's web browser or the applications that the browser tries to invoke, such as Adobe Acrobat, Macromedia Flash, Sun Java Runtime Environment, Apple QuickTime. All of this software is accessible to malicious websites through the browser and needs to be patched. Unfortunately, a lot of the software, actually most of the software, doesn't come from Microsoft, which means that the mechanisms that your organization might have a place to distribute Microsoft patches don't really help you. And so you need to ask yourself, how do you keep up with the many security patches that come out for Acrobat, Flash, Java, QuickTime, and all this other software that helps the browser provide its web browsing functionality? So I recently noticed that F-Secure on their website now makes available F-Secure Health Check, which is also a free scanner that will detect missing security patches from the workstation that are not Microsoft patches.
Right, Lenny, what role should enterprise users play in patching third-party applications? Should enterprises strive to manage that process on the back end, or is some user involvement unavoidable?
This really depends on the size of the enterprise and the maturity of its security practices. You have many, especially larger enterprises, that tightly control what a user can do on the workstation, and therefore, even if the user wanted to, he or she would be unable to install these patches. Certainly, it is better for most organizations that have centralized control to centrally distribute these patches because they need to be validated for their integrity to make sure they're coming from a trusted source, and they need to be checked to make sure they don't break any of the enterprise applications. However, in environments where the enterprise doesn't have that much control over the workstation, smaller companies, some of the universities, they might not have a choice than to encourage users to keep up with these patches to third-party software to a large extent because these enterprises might not even know which third-party software the user was able to install on his or her workstation. And so most companies probably will find that it's a combination of both.
Okay, moving on with the countdown of the top five ways to keep users safe from today's web-based threats. Number three, automatically block access to malicious sites. Lenny, how should companies go about doing this?
We have to assume that there will be some unpatched software on the user's system that a malicious website will try to exploit. And therefore, we need to think, well, how could we block access to such websites? Now, there are various ways of doing this. You could divide the problem into two categories. One, how can you configure tools running on the user's system to block access to malicious websites. That's where anti-phishing filters in the browser might be helpful. You could both Internet Explorer 7 as well as Firefox have the ability to block access to sites that they consider malicious. In most cases, this involves blocking access to phishing websites. You also have third-party tools. Netcraft has a free toolbar that lets you do something similar. This problem has been mainly focused on addressing phishing threats, but similar filters could be used to block access to other malicious websites. Of course, keep in mind that in a way, when you are creating a list of sites that are blacklisted, that list is probably going to be not sufficient because there's going to be many, many, many websites that are malicious and are not on that list. And that's where maybe the organizations would be better off investing in the technologies that block access to known or potential malicious websites at the network level. And that's where you might have a commercial product that examines outbound web traffic to see whether it's going to malicious websites or known malicious networks, and maybe examines the traffic that is coming back to the browser to scrub it for any malicious content. The one free tool that is accessible to home users is OpenDNS. And this OpenDNS allows you to configure your home DNS server to that of the OpenDNS organization. And whenever you try to go to a website through its domain name, they will check to see whether that domain belongs to a known malicious website and will try to protect you against some of those threats for free. This is not applicable to larger enterprises, I think, but certainly for small offices or for home users, OpenDNS will be quite helpful.
All right, Lenny, we're getting close to the top of the list here. Item number 2 on our countdown of the top 5 ways to keep users safe from web-based threats: lock down the browser. Lenny, this is definitely an important task, but it's not an easy one.
Oh, definitely not. You know, we are talking about protecting against web-based threats, and clearly there are so many layers that we need to implement. And you could see the browser being our last line of defense. If we failed to block malicious access at the network level, if we failed to keep up with the patches, if our antivirus software is not able to block malicious software, then maybe we can harden our browser. So we need to think about what techniques are available to us to harden the configuration of our browser, whether it's Firefox or Internet Explorer. The best tool that I know for Firefox to accomplish this is NoScript. It's a pretty well-known tool. It's a free add-on to Firefox, and it allows you to disable scripting support for domains or websites that you do not trust. And more importantly, and this is a very unique feature, it is able to detect attempts to exploit cross-site scripting vulnerabilities against websites that you're browsing. And this is really unique. I don't know of another tool, whether a commercial or a free tool, that has such cross-site scripting prevention capabilities built into it. So if you're using Firefox, highly recommend NoScript to lock down the browser further. You're using Internet Explorer, which is most relevant in enterprise environments, then really group policy is your friend. If you're using Active Directory, use group policy to disable those features within the Internet Explorer that your organization does not rely upon, that your organization does not need to use. Microsoft makes gives you a lot of flexibility for which features of Internet Explorer to disable, how to configure the domains that you trust, what should be the settings associated with that domain, and the good news is that you can centrally manage those settings through group policy. And then the final step in hardening the configuration of the browser is to try to run it with as few local privileges as possible. Organizations that are able to provide their users with non-administrative accounts, that's great. But I know of so many organizations where, for various reasons, their users have local admin rights on the workstation. And if the user is running a web browser with those rights, then he or she is exposed to a larger number of threats than if the browser was running with fewer privileges. So, a freely available tool exists to help those who need to be logged in locally with admin rights but want to run their browser with fewer privileges, and that tool is called Drop My Rights. You can do a web search for Drop My Rights as a single word. You'll find this free, freely available tool that can act as a wrapper around Internet Explorer or Firefox, and it will, even if you're logged in as local admin, it will start up your browser, but try to take away as many unnecessary privileges as it can. And of course, if you're running Windows Vista, by default, it already does this, especially if you're running Windows Vista with default configuration and Internet Explorer, it already has a lot of its privileges taken away from it to make it more hardened against attacks.
Okay, great. Here we are. We've reached the top of the list. The number one tip for keeping users safe from web-based threats: security awareness training. Lenny, why does awareness training deserve to be at the top of the list?
Well, you know, there's human element is always the weakest link in a security chain. That's certainly not news to any of our listeners. And as mundane as security awareness training might sound, really, if we failed to protect our users through technology, then it'll be up to our users to try to exercise good judgment in deciding what websites they visit, what links they click on when they receive certain email messages that look trustworthy, or which executables they try to download and install locally. We can put in as many technological controls as we can think of and as we can afford to buy, but at the end of the day, human beings run our businesses, make our companies work, and human beings need to get their work done. And in many cases, technological restrictions will make their task of getting jobs done more difficult. So humans will always look for ways to make their jobs easier, to bypass our security controls. And that's why it's important to educate our employees about which security measures we have in place, how to take advantage of the security tools that are available to them, and more importantly, how to recognize phishing scams or other social engineering techniques that attempt to trick our employees into going to a website that they shouldn't visit or into downloading software and installing it even though they probably should not be doing it.
Lenny, as we wrap things up, now that we've laid out the tips, do you have any advice on how security managers should go about putting them into practice, especially if they aren't as diligent with some of these action items as they should be?
I think we should accept the fact that we will not be able to implement every security mechanism that we should. Just because we have limited time, limited budgets, and our attention is drawn to so many aspects of our organizations that need to be managed and maintained. So my advice is always prioritize your risks, see where you're most vulnerable, where the most critical data resides, and begin by protecting those sets of systems, or begin by focusing on those groups of users. Also, I think it's important to start off by an easy win. You know, by this I mean take a project, perhaps a subset of what we were talking about in this webcast, something that you know you can accomplish, something that you know will clearly demonstrate to the organization the value of strengthening security around the user's browsing experience. And then once you have that win in your arsenal, that will help you gather support from other groups within your organization to really implement as thorough of a security program as you might like.
Okay, let's recap our list of the top 5 tips for keeping users safe from web-based threats. Number 5, upgrade your antivirus software. Number 4, keep up with workstation security patches. Number 3, automatically block access to malicious sites. Number 2, lock down the browser. And number 1, conduct security awareness training. Lenny Zeltser of Savvis, thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
For more materials in our Intrusion Defense School, visit searchsecurity.com/intrusiondefenseschool. You can also listen to more of our podcasts on our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Thank you for joining us. I'm Billy Hurley. Have a great day.